Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Today, I'll be giving my commentary on Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 4, Seeking the Truth. The episode opens with the Davis family. Danielle has just stormed out of dinner after expressing very clearly that she isn't ready for the family to date yet. Danielle has just moved back into the house after moving out abruptly and leasing her own apartment. Nick feels that he was honest with Danielle from the start, that they wanted a date, that they were going to keep pursuing women and marrying other wives, that they were going to continue to expand the family. So Nick really isn't sure what to make of Danielle's hesitation, her reservations surrounding dating. Jennifer wants to know from Danielle what specifically about the dating is the concern for her. She feels they can really only fix the issue if they understand the root of the issue Danielle has. And Danielle explains that talking about it is challenging for her. She doesn't even know how she feels yet. She is still processing all of this herself. She's really upset. She's crying. You can tell she's very emotionally distraught. And Nick is there. He's comforting her. As Danielle is crying, April lets Danielle know that she's dealing with her own insecurities. And she knows dealing with your own insecurities is hard. She knows Danielle is dealing with it. She has her own insecurities. There are things even with herself and Jennifer. And everything is at play. She knows a lot of this is insecurity at play with all of them. And April tells Danielle she can be an empath. She can be empathetic. She can understand the fact that Danielle is the most recent wife. And that plays even more on Danielle's insecurity about where she stands in the family. So April wants Danielle to know that she really loves her, that Danielle is her family, that Danielle is her wife, just as much as Jennifer is. And she tells her the family wouldn't be the same without her. And April also tells Danielle she doesn't want to raise baby Vera without her. Danielle understands that, but she says sometimes it can be difficult. And she says, coming together to do this, it's very special, but it comes with a lot. And Danielle isn't used to this. And there is a lot of layers. There's a lot of pressure with expanding the family. There's a lot there she has to process through. And she's still just adjusting to being in a polygamous relationship. She's still adjusting to the Davis family. And she explains that her relationship with the Davis family is her first actual relationship. She didn't date a lot before this. She had a few very casual relationships and nothing serious before this. So Danielle feels she really needs to step back. She needs to give herself more grace and more patience. And she explains to them, she loves all of them. And it hurts her to not be together. It breaks her heart. She apologizes and she tells the family she didn't mean to cause any harm, any pain, any conflict. But she feels at times that she is absorbed by her own emotions. And she also feels that she needs to open up to allow the family to work through this together. She wants to be more open with them instead of this being something that she handles isolated by herself on her own. Danielle says when she left and she was staying those few days in her apartment, those were the worst few days of her life alone there. It was eye-opening for her. It was humbling. And it really made her realize who she felt was really there for her and who really loves her. And after that, Danielle says it was obvious to her she wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Nowhere but with the Davis family. When she left, she wondered what she just did. She had doubts about it. And she says, leaving, it was something she thought she wanted. She wanted to be alone by herself. She wanted to figure things out for herself and get herself under control. And she really wanted to do that to be able to work on this with the Davis family. But she says, dating another woman, the prospect of that is very scary for her. Nick assures Danielle they're not going to just allow anyone to be a part of their relationship. They know that it's going to require someone very special, a particular person. He says it'll be just like it was when they found her. Nick tells Danielle she came along and she enhanced what they were already doing. And Nick says he would never allow just anyone to come into their situation and diminish what they've created. So April then explains to Danielle that she or Jen wanting someone else to come into the family It's just the type of family that they are. It's the type of family they want. And she says they want all the love in the world for their family. And I guess that includes adding more wives. The producer asks Danielle if she loves the family, and Danielle is in tears, and she says, of course she loves them. She loves them a lot more than she has ever loved anyone, and she feels that's the scary part about love, and she's crying incessantly as she claims that this is love, and they're not happy tears. Danielle explains to the family that those 4 days without them, those were the worst days of her life. It was really hard for her. And Danielle knows it was hard on the family too. And Nick explains he loves Danielle very much, but he says he didn't see this coming. He never imagined Danielle leaving. So now with Nick, he's up in the air with what he thinks could potentially happen with Danielle. Now, in my opinion, Danielle hasn't had much relationship experience or experience with love or with dating, and she just wants to feel loved and accepted. She wants to feel like she belongs. She wants love. She wants acceptance. And she's young. She hasn't had many serious relationships or experiences. So I think she feels like she's getting all that with the Davis family. But in my opinion, the Davis family really care more about dating women and expanding their family and forming the couples of women who marry and take Nick's last name, who also work as he stays home and sits on his ass or plays Mr. Mom. They don't care about Danielle. They care about expanding their family. They care about their cult, their whatever this is. They seem annoyed when Danielle brings up her feelings or her hesitations. And Nick is already over Danielle. And I think that's because he likes convenience and he feels Danielle is inconvenient. He doesn't care about Danielle. He's manipulating her into going back, into staying. And I think he knows her breaking point is dating. She isn't ready to date. And he and the wives are still pushing it, trying to convince Danielle it's the right thing, even though Danielle made it clear she isn't ready for this. They sucked her back in. They emotionally manipulated her. And it's probably because this is the only place in her life she feels loved. And when Danielle becomes too inconvenient for Nick, if she refuses to date and her sister wives can't manipulate her into this, they aren't going to hesitate to push her out. At the end of the day, they care more about expanding their family than Danielle. Next up are the Sherwood family. Ashley ended things with Grace and she is now moving forward. She is meeting Sarah. Ashley met Sarah online. They haven't talked much yet, but they're meeting. And the good news is Sarah brought food. Ashley really likes Sarah. She likes that she's young, spirited, she's fun. And Sarah also has an 8-year-old, so they have motherhood in common. They talk about their kids. They seem to really be connecting. And Sarah explains she really prefers dating men much more than dating women, but she likes both men and women. And Sarah really likes about Ashley that she's a mom, and she gets that part of Sarah's life. They both understood the motherhood thing, and they have that in common. Sarah does think it's different to be dating someone who's pregnant, but she really feels like she and Ashley are hitting it off. And Ashley really likes Sarah a lot. She says she's gorgeous. She feels the chemistry. She feels very natural, very comfortable with Sarah. And she says she feels way more relaxed with Sarah than she felt with Grace. So Sarah is really open to having open relationships. She's dated couples before. She's tried a lot of different things with dating. And Sarah really feels the most attractive quality a person can have, the sexiest thing a person can do, is be kind. And she says it's ultimately what will be the end all be all, at least for her. Ashley says she got goosebumps when Sarah said that because what she said was oh so beautiful. Ashley points out that she can't be legally married to whoever they bring on. Because, of course, she is legally married to the father of her kids, Seth. So she also definitely wants, even though she can't be legally married, an emotional, spiritual bounding ceremony with whoever the sister wife will be. And it'll be like a marriage. And Ashley reflects that at times She felt she had to convince Grace to consider being okay with this polygamous relationship dynamic. And Sarah is coming into this, and she is very open-minded about it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Sarah is also open to meeting Shane soon. Ashley asked on date one, and Sarah said yes, she's down to meet Shane. Sarah has had a lot of other experiences with couples and with dating, but this is her first time dating just a girl. So that's new to her, but she's down to try anything in that realm, and she says she's down to give it that good old college try. That's her way. Ashley knows Sarah is very open to meeting Shane, and she thinks that's very positive. It's a big deal because she is a package deal. She comes with Shane, and Shane will always be a part of her life, and Shane will always be a part of this potential sister wife's life if she marries Ashley. So Ashley thinks Sarah might be a really good fit. She feels the spark, that attraction is there. And their first meeting ends in a kiss initiated by Ashley. Next up are the Ryan family, Becky and Justin. We learn that Becky has what she refers to as a preventative healthcare business to scan people to let them know their antioxidant levels. And Justin is in construction. So they've been seeking a wife, Becky and Justin, for 2 years. And yesterday they met Desiree. She agreed to go out with them. Justin and Becky are really hung up on their last potential sister wife, Stephanie. And Justin says, after losing Stephanie to find another beautiful, single, open woman, it feels like it could be an amazing start to a new journey. And Becky is excited as well. So Becky and Justin go to this cafe place. They're sitting there waiting to meet Danielle. And it's 2:01. Justin is already stressing. She's a minute late. He wonders if he should text her. Justin explains, with Stephanie, they thought they had the one. The one any man, and then he adjusts, or any couple would want. So he's sure that they could find someone down for a one-night stand, but they aren't after that type of thing. Becky confirms that they are looking for a serious, legit relationship, a real-life partner. So Justin and Becky are sitting there. They're nervous, and he gets a text from Desiree letting him know that she thinks she's chickening out on this, and she lets Justin know she really appreciates the offer. She appreciates everything, but she has to protect her family in this. She just can't take that chance. She's sorry again to go back on things, but she really hopes they do find someone truly interested. Justin looks pissed. He doesn't know how to reply. And Becky suggests that he should just text her back that he completely understands. Justin wants to leave immediately. It totally seems to have ruined his mood. Becky wants to stay at the cafe. Justin isn't down. He says he's going to reply later to the text. He seems frustrated that someone backed out yet again. This guy, Justin, gives off creepy vibes. And I also love how he assumes he could easily get a one-night stand. Maybe if the woman had some beer goggles on. He's weird. His personality seems quirky, and maybe he's just awkward and dorky, but there's a flag in my gut on this guy. He also is still all hung up on Stephanie. Becky's hung up on her as well. Becky says she's sad that this didn't work out, but she feels that they have to think positively, and this kind of put Justin in a more negative headspace. Justin is thinking about what Stephanie said. He says this being stood up and the message Desiree gave him really reminded him of what Stephanie said. She said she felt like she was coming out as gay back in the 1950s with the polygamy thing. And she backed out because she wasn't comfortable with it. Now, Becky never heard Stephanie say that. And she's shocked that Justin mentioned it. But Justin says Stephanie definitely told him that. Becky says that Desiree has the same excuses they have always heard back. And Stephanie had the same problem. She says it's confusing, but they keep hoping that maybe one day Stephanie will see the light and come back to them. In my opinion, these people shouldn't be dating anyone until they both get over Stephanie, until they process it fully. If they are still hoping Stephanie comes back, they obviously aren't over it or in a place to be dating anyone. Of Becky and Justin, Becky seems like the more positive one. She says she has trained herself to always look at bad situations in a positive light. She admits, though, getting stood up sucks, but she knows it's a roller coaster with dating in this lifestyle. It's an emotional roller coaster, the lifestyle, the search for a sister wife, all the frustrations of it. But she also knows they know that their sister wife is out there. Becky has faith in that. And Justin feels you have to love the ones you have. And he's got Becky. He says she works hard, she plays hard, and Justin feels he and Becky are a really good match. Next up are the Merrifields. It's their second day in Mexico, and Danielle feels she and Natalia are really looking forward to moving forward, to getting to know each other better, to seeing where things go. There's a scene with Garrick cooking in the kitchen with Natalia, and cooking really isn't Natalia's forte. So Garrick is talking into the translator, and he's caressing Natalia's arm, petting her like she's a dog, and he tells her maybe they should get a French sister wife to cook in addition to her. And Natalia explains she doesn't think they need a sister wife. She thinks Garrick needs to buy the food. And the producer is asking Danielle how she is feeling. She's putting on her makeup as Garrick and Natalia are flirting away in the kitchen. And she says she is feeling overwhelmed. She's scared. She says it feels like it's scary because Roberta hurt them very badly. And Danielle is tearing up now, and she says Garrick is going to propose, and she is going to give Natalia a sister wife necklace, a sister necklace. And Roberta took all of those things they gave her, but she never really followed through with any of it. So Danielle feels it's scary how much people can hurt you, and she's scared Natalia is going to hurt her. Now, Natalia asked Danielle to have a one-on-one chat. And that really surprised Danielle. It caught her off guard, but she thinks Natalia maybe is sensing her feelings and her reservations in this moment. And it scares her because Danielle's number one worry is she feels it will irritate Garrick, and she feels like Garrick is wanting to move forward. But Danielle says she herself knows she isn't feeling fully ready, and it's not right yet to propose to Natalia. So here we hear Danielle feels it will irritate Garrick if she's honest with how she feels. Natalia understands that Garrick and Danielle seem to really want to move quickly with the relationship, especially because of the process from being from another country and getting the fiance visa. All of that takes time. But she has asked Garrick now to leave for a bit to sit and talk to Danielle alone one-on-one to see if this is really what Danielle wants for her life. She wants to see if Danielle is really okay with this lifestyle, because Natalia says she can already sense that Danielle isn't doing well emotionally with this. So Natalia asks Danielle if she doubts her being the right person for this relationship, or if she really even wants to be in a polygamous relationship. And Danielle responds to Natalia that she thinks her doubts come into play because Roberta was a part of their lives for 3.5 years. After the breakup with Roberta, it was really hard for her. Here's the thing, though. You can't have your past experiences and your past relationships come into play with the new people you are with. And the new people you are with, the current people you are with, aren't going to pay for the mistakes of your past partner. And that's not fair. That's not fair to Natalia. Natalia shouldn't be paying for Roberta's bad behavior. Natalia is wondering if Danielle is really over her jealousy, and she wants to know how Danielle really feels seeing her closeness with Garrick. These days, Danielle says she is feeling really nervous, she's very afraid, and she says it's a big step to move forward and it's a big decision to make to join their family, especially because they have children. And Danielle really wants to make sure this is something Natalia could see herself committing to for the rest of her life. Natalia says she has no problem committing, and she tells Danielle straight up that she is in love with Garrick. I mean, who knows if that's true or not? I mean, we don't know this woman's intentions. I don't know how anyone could fall in love with Garrick. Natalia tells Danielle she needs to know if this is really what she wants, because this is going to impact her life in a big way. She will have to make a very big change to live with Danielle in the U.S. And Danielle explains to Natalia that she wants her to understand that she thinks they're all going to be making sacrifices here. And she thinks they're going to have struggles and they're going to have to work through things. Now, Garrick at this point walks in. He looks nervous as fuck. And Danielle tells Garrick that Natalia told her she senses that she isn't happy. And Natalia tells Garrick and Danielle both, as they're sitting there, that she doesn't feel safe in a polygamous relationship, knowing that Danielle would still feel afraid. Garrick looks pissed off. He's frustrated, and he asks Danielle in disbelief, "You told her you're afraid?" Like, he is pissed at her for being honest about her feelings. Now, Danielle says that's not what she said. She told Natalia she was afraid. And Natalia tells Garrick and Danielle both that Danielle told her she was afraid and that she feels afraid because of everything that happened with Roberta. So Danielle admits it, and Garrick is pissed that Danielle said this. And he tells Danielle he doesn't understand, and he says he wasn't here to hear the whole conversation, and he wants to know all Danielle said to Natalia. Garrick's pissed, and he tells Danielle that she told him she was 100% for this, that Natalia would be his wife. And I think this whole thing is weird. Danielle can't be open and honest with Garrick. He won't listen to her. He doesn't give a fuck how she feels or what she has to say. They're already legally divorced, and I don't think Garrick would mind if she walked away. If he respected or valued her at all, he wouldn't be treating her like this. Garrick just doesn't care how Danielle feels, and he's just going to do what he wants, and he's going to think with his dick. And Danielle really seems to not want to lose Garrick. She still loves him, so she puts up with this bullshit. In reality, she doesn't want polygamy. She wants the man who she fell for decades ago, the father of her kids, her husband, to be attuned to her and their family and their children, rather than him just looking for places on dating apps to stick it in. Danielle told Natalia all of this stuff about how she feels, hoping it would be Natalia who hears it and pumps the brakes and slows things down. And I think she knows Garrick is going to do what he wants. He doesn't give a fuck. But if Natalia knows, she might do something. Now, if Danielle leaves, they're already legally divorced. And I know Danielle won't leave because her emotions are invested in this. And I think she really seems to be afraid of how Garrick will react to how she feels. Now, Danielle explains through tears that all she was trying to do with Natalia was to express how she feels about things. And she tells Garrick she knows Natalia is not Roberta. She knows that, and she is sobbing. She's deeply hurt as she's talking to Garrick, and Garrick offers no comfort. Danielle tells Garrick, when you trust somebody with all of your heart and then they trample it, she has never had that feeling before ever, and it was devastating for her. Danielle talks a little bit about her sacrifices to live this way. She says it was so hard for her to divorce Garrick legally. And she did it because she trusted that Roberta loved her, that Roberta cared about her, and that she wouldn't hurt her. And then Roberta went and she hurt her. So Danielle is really hurt, and she is still healing from the pain of Roberta. And I think a lot of that pain, just in my opinion, is Danielle projecting her own pain and her own heartbreak with her relationship with Garrick and with the divorce and everything she sacrificed in order to keep him. And she's projecting that onto Roberta. And I don't doubt that Roberta hurt her deeply. But I think this is also a lot about Garrick and how Garrick continues to trample on her heart. And Garrick really doesn't give a fuck about Danielle. He takes her for granted. He doesn't appreciate her. And I don't think he gives a fuck if she stays or if she goes. And if he gave a fuck about her and he loved her, he wouldn't be putting Danielle in the situation that she does not want, that she isn't ready for, and pushing it all in the name of God, manipulating her with his God bullshit. Now, Natalia is very smart. She lets Garrick know he's not going to use the God manipulation. She tells Garrick that Danielle is sad, and Danielle denies that she's sad in front of Garrick, but it's obvious. And she denies it to Garrick as well. And Garrick says he's so torn by this. He says he knows that Danielle is scared, that she's struggling, and he says it's probably from the hurt with Roberta. But at the same time, Garrick really feels like God promised their family more than just her. So more than just Danielle is what God promised their family. Danielle isn't good enough. It's more than just Danielle. You know what? Danielle is more than enough. Danielle is blessing the family and Garrick. And Garrick is lucky to have Danielle. She isn't even down for polygamy. And she puts up with it and she goes through a legal divorce that tore her heart to shreds. Why? Because she loves Garrick the dingbat and she doesn't want to lose him. And Garrick doesn't give a fuck either way. She could leave and he wouldn't mind. All Garrick cares about is where he can stick it. So what does Garrick mean when he says God promised the family more than just Danielle? You know what? I'm sure Danielle was promised better to her boys as an example than a man who twists up God to justify getting it in and proposing to multiple women just to be able to bang them, hurting his wife in the process and doing it and shutting down her voice using God as a manipulation tool. So what does Garrick mean that God promised more than just Danielle to his family? I would say God promised more than just Garrick to his family, because no one in his family deserves his ass. They deserve better. The boys deserve a better example. The wife, Danielle, deserves better than Garrick, who doesn't love, respect, or appreciate this woman. In my opinion, Garrick's wife and kids deserve better than Garrick's creepy, culty, SK vibes, giving off, pasty ass. He is revolting. Now, Garrick says he had a vision years ago that he had 5 wives and they were all good. So this isn't making Garrick too happy. He's disappointed by Danielle and her emotions. Danielle's emotions are a huge inconvenience, especially when he is getting ready to propose soon. And so now he doesn't know what to do. Wouldn't God want Garrick to be there to comfort and support his wife and the mother of his kids, especially by listening to how she feels and validating it and adjusting his behavior and his actions? This isn't about God with Garrick, in my opinion. This is about Garrick and his little dick. Natalia lets Garrick know they're not going to rush things, and she feels it's going to take much more time to move forward with the relationship. She wants Danielle to feel more comfortable, and she wants Danielle to feel free from fear. She wants to take things slowly with the relationship. Danielle agrees, and Garrick doesn't agree. Garrick interjects that he thinks it's normal for Danielle to have to go through a time period with a new relationship, with having these emotions, with having this fear and this insecurity. And he says, fear is never from God. And so Danielle will lose out on her blessing if she lives in fear. So if Danielle has fear, if Danielle has these emotions, she isn't walking God's path. She isn't doing what God wants for her if she tries to communicate and understand and validate her own emotions. If she goes by her emotions, she's going against God. Do you see that manipulation there and how abusive that is? So after Garrick uses God to manipulate Danielle, saying, well, fear is never from God. If she feels fear, that's not from God. And Danielle will lose out on her blessing if she lives in fear. He asks Danielle, right? In this quiet, creepy voice. And Danielle responds, right, but you could tell she feels totally defeated. And Garrick is using God as a way to shut Danielle down, as a way to shut Natalia up. He just wants to propose, in my opinion, so that he feels it's allowed or sanctioned by God in his eyes, in his interpretation, and then he can get it in this trip with a quickness like he wants to. And he feels, I guess, that he can deceive God. He can deceive what is supposed to be an all-knowing, all-seeing entity in the sky. And he can deceive them. It doesn't matter as long as he just engages this second woman and then it's all okay in God's eyes. So he can get it in this trip. He won't have to waste the fare of his ticket. And this is Garrick's version of the Bible. This is Garrick's interpretation of God. And if Danielle has fears, anxiety, jealousy, insecurity, reservations, then that's not God. That's the opposite of God. It's on her. She's bad. Evil, the devil. You see, it's religious manipulation through God to silence his wife's voice, and that's not okay. Eric doesn't give a fuck about Danielle's feeling. He's super annoyed that Natalia is backing Danielle up. She's considering her feelings. He is just so revolting, and Natalia is smart, and she doesn't let Garrick use God to manipulate. Natalia tells Garrick next that he told her God spoke to him, but she doesn't think God would like to see Danielle unhappy. Garrick explains that he doesn't think Danielle is not happy. His excuse is, oh, it's just certain moments. Natalia asks for another minute alone with Danielle, and Garrick is frustrated. He seems irritated. He doesn't know what's going on. It's very clear that he's pissed. His wife's emotions are cock-blocking him, and he's annoyed. And this girl is really having Danielle's back. And she won't be manipulated by Garrick, by any of his techniques, by his God talk, by any of his bullshit. And I think that will end up being a good thing. Next up are the Sherwoods. Ashley reports back to Shane about her date with Sarah. She's all smiles. Ashley says she had a good date. Sarah was great. There was good chemistry. There was good conversation. There was good weather. There was good everything. Everything was great. She's very positive. And Shane can tell that Ashley really liked Sarah. So Ashley explains to Shane that Sarah is ready to meet him already. And Shane is so relieved to hear this. He feels knowing Sarah already wants to meet him, that doesn't put red flags in his mind like it did with Grace, because Grace didn't want to meet him. He's really excited about the prospect of Sarah wanting to meet him, because that signifies to him that Sarah knows he's an integral part of Ashley's life. And Ashley lets Shane know she kissed Sarah. And Shane is actually surprised that Ashley made the first move, because she was very reluctant to be affectionate with Grace. But Shane thinks that with Grace, Ashley felt like she was always walking on eggshells, like she needed permission for everything. So Shane feels, really, any start to a relationship, you should really feel it. You should feel the vibes. And with Sarah, Ashley felt it. So Shane wants to know how Sarah felt about Ashley being pregnant. Ashley says Sarah didn't have any hesitation about it. She asked about the pregnancy because she herself has been through a pregnancy and she's a mom. So Ashley now thinks that it's really important to have someone, a potential sister or wife, who has been through having a child or being pregnant. And she says it's important for the women who they bring into their lives to have experience with children and to be comfortable with their parenting styles and their preferences in how they raise their kids. Shane still has worries, even though he likes Sarah. He says if Ashley started to pull away from him, if he felt threatened in any way by this new potential sister wife, he would just tell Ashley directly that he was feeling alienated, and he hopes that she would be understanding in that situation. But he says there's always a risk of the unknown. Now, back to Danielle and Natalia talking one-on-one. Natalia asks Danielle if she really wants to live this lifestyle or if this is something she is just doing because Garrick wants to live this way. And of course, Natalia knows she has a woman's intuition. She knows that Danielle is doing this just because of Garrick. But Danielle says she isn't doing this just because of Garrick. She says she knows 100% God did this in their life. And she says she was the one who suggested living this way to Garrick. And she says she knows God wanted it because he continually brought it up in their lives. I don't think so. I think what happened is Garrick was straying, or he wanted to stray. He's a horn dog. He's going through a midlife crisis. He wanted a younger, newer wife. He wanted to start over again. He was probably doesn't love Danielle, probably not into Danielle, never really valued her. Now he's in the middle life crisis. He wants to get it in anywhere he can. And so he came up with this idea of polygamy because even though he managed to get his wife to divorce him legally, she wouldn't leave. And he wants the best of both worlds, to keep his legal wife and to have a relationship, a sexual, physical relationship with other women that he was maybe more attracted to, younger women, whatever. And he knew that she loves him, that she will never leave, that she will accept whatever. So he came up with this idea of, oh, God supports this, and throwing the God stuff behind there. And he used that as a way to manipulate his wife. Oh, God put it on my heart that I need to be in a polygamous relationship. And then she's not wanting to lose her husband. So she's going, oh, I feel that too. I feel that too. And it's making her miserable because this isn't something she really wants. And she deserves better. Danielle deserves better. I think Danielle wants to keep Garrick. And I think Garrick just wants to get it in wherever he can. And he's going through his midlife crisis and he's thinking with his dick. That's what this is. And then God is a way to justify it and make it okay for everyone, for the family and for Garrick, and to make an excuse for the wife to accept it. I think it's all bullshit, in my opinion. So Danielle feels this is a calling from God. That's what she's telling Natalia. And Natalia feels that Danielle understands that living polygamy to her is a calling from God for her life. But Natalia thinks even if it were a call from God for Danielle, she doesn't know if God wants her to be as sad as she is. And she says she isn't Roberta. She's a different person than Roberta. And unfortunately, she can't do anything about what happened with Roberta. And she says Garrick and Danielle have to be able to overcome that situation. Natalia says she can't suffer the consequences for something she didn't do. And she's right about that. Natalia's smart. She brought her mom on this trip. She milked extra money for the visa. She insisted on staying in the room with her mom. She's asking a lot of questions. She's insisting on trying to have Danielle's back and see where Danielle is emotionally with this. And she isn't willing to continue this if it hurts Danielle too much. And she can see that Danielle isn't ready for things to move forward. And she doesn't allow Garrick to manipulate her in any way or to use God to manipulate her or Danielle in any way. Danielle tells Natalia she feels there is never a perfect time to ever start another relationship. And she says she feels they have to walk forward in faith, and she feels like God brought her into their lives, that she is supposed to be a wife, and that God told that to herself and to Garrick, and that they have to trust God, they need to move forward, and they have to look to what God has in their future and their life together as a family. That sounds like cult speak. I don't even believe that Danielle believes it. I think Danielle is just regurgitating what Garrick indoctrinates her with, what he manipulates her with about God. And Danielle says this stuff with zero conviction, with zero passion. It's almost out of fear because she doesn't want to disappoint Garrick. And if Natalia backs out because of Danielle, Garrick will probably take it out on her. This is out of fear that if she doesn't deliver this right to convince Natalia, Garrick is going to take it out on her, in my opinion. Now, Natalia says she became worried because at first everything seemed fine with Danielle. Danielle seemed very sure of everything, but Natalia found it strange and she really didn't understand what Danielle said about being afraid. Natalia knew that Danielle felt bad about everything that happened with Roberta, but as far as she was concerned, she thought that was in the past, that Danielle was over it, that Garrick was over it, and she says Danielle brought this up about Roberta months ago, and then she never mentioned it again. So Natalia found this strange that Danielle has brought this up again. She says it was strange, and now they're all together, staying in this rental together. They have that in-person connection now. And now she became worried about whether Danielle would be able to get over everything with Roberta and keep it in the past. So Danielle reports to Garrick that she and Natalia, they had a good talk. And Danielle feels that Natalia is wise, she's mature, and she knows that they're going to have struggles. This is difficult for her. She never has experienced this before, Natalia, this type of relationship. And she's only 25. But Danielle tells Garrick she knows Natalia wants to work through this, even if it's hard. Garrick says that when Danielle said she was afraid, immediately he wasn't thinking about his wife's feelings and making her feel better or comforting her or understanding and having empathy. No, no, no. Immediately his first thought was, great, this isn't a good situation, because of course he wants to propose so he can get it in. He doesn't want to waste that airfare. But he thought, this isn't a good situation, and it doesn't seem like Danielle and Natalia are now on the same page. So Garrick wondered, is something wrong? Is there a problem? And it made him very uneasy about this. He doesn't like Natalia's independent, strong will, intelligence, her inquisitive nature, her empathy towards Danielle. He doesn't like any of it. He doesn't like that Natalia would be bold enough to pull Danielle aside and have private conversations with her, because Garrick, the creepo, seems like a controlling twat who wants to manipulate the fuck out of everybody and use God as the excuse. Danielle feels that opening up to Natalia and telling her how she feels, it really makes her scared that Natalia is sensing her feelings, and she's really reading Danielle's emotions well. And Danielle acknowledges that. And Danielle says she's really nervous that this is going to hinder her response to Garrick if he does propose to her. And she wonders if maybe Natalia will feel now like she doesn't want to move forward just because of her feelings. Back to the Davis family, Nick and Danielle meet, and Nick admits that he and Danielle haven't had a chance to speak one-on-one since that family dinner. And the talk they had at that dinner left Nick feeling uneasy about their future, especially considering that Danielle still kept the lease on her apartment, and she should keep it. Nick says he loves Danielle. She's a great mother to the kids. She's a wonderful sister wife. So he says keeping Danielle in the family is extremely important to him. He doesn't know what he would do if Danielle were to move out again. You mean he'd have to lose his free childcare and play Mr. Mom solo? Oh, no. It seems to me like Nick wants Danielle there for childcare during the day. Now, Nick wants to talk with Danielle about how things are going, and Danielle says she feels it's much easier to say things to one person rather than multiple people. She prefers one-on-one. She says you feel less pressure, and since Danielle moved back home, she knows things have been awkward around the house. So Danielle is really nervous to talk to Nick one-on-one. Nick explains to Danielle that he and April and Jennifer, they've been doing this for long enough now that they all move in step really easily. And Nick feels like he has to really appreciate the fact that for Danielle coming in as a new wife, as new as she is, that maybe she doesn't always feel as secure with them. And Danielle says sometimes being the newest addition in the family, it could be challenging. It can be weird at times because everything is already so established and then she's coming in. So Danielle says she really doesn't want to stir the pot. She really doesn't want to make any waves. She feels, in all fairness, they're doing this all collectively together. And what worked before her might not work as well now. Obviously, she wants her voice to be heard. She wants her input to be taken into consideration. She wants her emotions validated like they should be. Now, Nick feels with Danielle, he might have underestimated how difficult this transition was going to be with her coming into the family simply because it was just so smooth with April and with Jennifer. So Nick apologizes to Danielle and he says he didn't mean to make Danielle feel like she had to run out or like she didn't have any room to voice any displeasure or any concerns she had. He wants her to feel comfortable expressing herself and communicating. And Nick tells Danielle if anything about her feels apprehensive about the way they are moving forward, he wants her to know those things are valid and they have to be taking those things into consideration. And Danielle says she feels sometimes things build up on themselves and she doesn't want that to happen here. She wants to talk about it. She wants to fix it when there is an issue and she wants to keep moving on. So Nick explains to Danielle that there is no one, nothing that can replace her. There is no one who can be who she is or who can bring what she brings to their relationship. And he tells her he loves her very much. Now, in my opinion, all of this is just manipulation and empty words telling Danielle what she wants to hear, a very vulnerable, insecure, younger person. Now, Nick asks Danielle, looking forward as they move along, what some of the things are that she would need from the family overall. And he asks her what her expectations are for how things are going to progress with the family, with the dating, with the relationships. Danielle wants to keep that understanding that it looks different for everyone in the family. And also, she wants to know if she comes across a situation, if they're dating someone and it's moving too quickly for her liking, or if she just isn't feeling right about it. Even if the group consensus is yes, 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 across the board on this person, she wants to not be afraid to say, well, maybe not. Even if the whole group says yes on someone, she needs to not be afraid to say, maybe not. Now, Nick looks annoyed at this, and his response is wow. And he tells Danielle he knows her leaving the house impacted April very heavily. So April wants to talk to Danielle one-on-one, and Nick says Danielle leaving, it hit all of them really hard. But he can tell Danielle leaving the family hurt April in a much deeper way. She was the most affected by it. And Nick says their family, and in particular their kids, are extremely important to April and to Danielle, and she hopes that this is something they'll be able to hash out. But as much as Danielle has expressed that she still wants to be with the family, the fact that she still has her apartment on lease, it leaves it open for her to still leave. So Nick knows things could dissolve at any moment, and it really concerns him. You know what? Nick should be happy Danielle has her own place, so she doesn't feel trapped or pressured to stay if it's not the right thing for her, so she doesn't feel she has to stay with the family. It's smart for Danielle to keep her lease. She decides that this is not for her, or she feels like her opinions don't matter to the group. She will be free to leave, and she will have a place to stay, and she won't be dependent on the group for housing. It seems to me like Nick wants Danielle to be dependent on the group, and that's why he feels the lease is a threat. He wants her to be dependent on the group without the option of having her own place so that it's harder for her to leave and he can manipulate her more easily next time, in my opinion. Now, if Danielle doesn't feel like her opinion counts, even if it goes against the consensus, if she doesn't feel like her opinion is at least considered, if she is scared to express herself and be heard and validated within the group, that's a huge problem. And she should keep that apartment. I also noticed earlier how Nick complained that Danielle was inconvenient. He said April and Jennifer were smoother transitions into the family. And he doesn't have a job. He doesn't like work. He doesn't like making an effort at all. So he doesn't like anything inconvenient. He likes convenience, much like Cody Brown. So if Danielle is too difficult, if Danielle is too inconvenient, the group will treat her like a huge problem, like a burden. And I don't think it's ever going to be a really good situation for Danielle. I think she needs to keep the apartment and she needs to run. It's hard to disengage when you're young and you think your heart is involved, but her intuition and her gut is telling Danielle exactly what she needs to do. And that's why she got that apartment and she needs to stick with that lease. Next up are the Merrifields, and there is kitchen drama. It goes down, and the whole time Danielle is gloating. She has this smile on her face, and she is there excited for the fireworks because she knows what's about to go down. Now, Natalia tells Garrick that he told her he was no longer on a dating site or any dating apps, but she can still see he is still on there. And Garrick is making all kinds of excuses that he was just still looking at first for other sister wives, potential sister wives. And Natalia retorts that she sees on his phone that he got special tools from his subscription service on the dating site and he is still available in the app. And Natalia says when Garrick first asked to date her, he said he volunteered this, that he would get off all dating platforms that he was on. She didn't request this of him. He volunteered it. She didn't even know Garrick was using all of these multiple dating platforms. And she was surprised when Garrick took out his cell phone to use the translator to communicate with her. And she saw the dating app notification on his phone. It was really stressful for Natalia because Natalia thought Garrick wasn't being totally honest with her because he was the one who proposed to her that he would delete all of his apps in the first place. It was his idea and he was lying. Now, Danielle backs Natalia up, saying Garrick still has his dating profile on there, and she tells Garrick that women can still see his profile, and she lets Garrick know that he knows that. Garrick tries to play dumb. He makes excuse after excuse, but with two women, let alone one woman, you're not gonna get by with playing dumb to deflect. Garrick makes the excuse that on the dating app, girls can't message him. And Danielle says, nope, he's lying. They sure can message him. Now, Garrick, of course, plays dumb. He acts confused. And he says he isn't sure what to do. He is being cornered by these two women who are livid. It's not a comfortable situation. So he's ignoring it. He's trying to ignore it and just continue making dinner. He doesn't even know what to say about this. It's now gotten too inconvenient for him. So he's going to play dumb and ignore. Garrick lies and he tells Danielle he didn't know he could still interact with people. Now, here's my thing. Garrick is all about God. Does Garrick like liars and cheaters and men who lie to their wives? Men who lie to get out of accountability? I thought God sees all. I'm not religious at all, but my understanding of God was that you can't deceive God. Danielle tells Garrick that people can still like him on the app. They can still message him. So at this point, Garrick suggests deleting the app. And Danielle reveals she asked Garrick to delete the dating apps months ago, and he refused to do it. He wouldn't do it. Garrick plays dumb, and he asks Danielle, did I say I wouldn't do it? And Danielle is pissed. She is heated. She's a woman scorned. And she says, yes. Garrick told her, why? Why should he delete the apps when she confronted him months ago? He said, why would he do it? Because they were going to be searching for other wives in addition to Natalia. And now for Natalia, when Natalia demanded it and Natalia made this an issue, he just said, no problem, I'll delete it. And he was willing to delete it for Natalia, but not for his wife, Danielle, when she asked months ago. Now, Garrick says he didn't disagree with Danielle when she asked him, but Danielle says he did. When she asked him months ago, he refused to delete the apps. And Garrick says he asked her if deleting the apps back then would take away all of their info. And she told him back then that, yes, deleting the app will delete the info. But when they're ready to date again, they can always create a new profile when they're searching for a new wife again. And Garrick says no. He claims that Danielle is lying. And Natalia stops them because she doesn't understand. She wants a translator. She wants to know what's going on. Now, Danielle is heartbroken because as his wife, she asked him months ago and he refused to do it and he made excuses. And now Natalia asks and it's done in 2 seconds. And of course, Danielle feels heartbroken, disrespected, devalued by Garrick. Danielle is sobbing. You can tell she is heartbroken. She is suffering emotionally and she is really hurt. Like her heart is big time trampled on. And she says she asked Garrick to delete the dating apps back in Colorado. Garrick refused. He disagreed to do it. He refused to do it. But as soon as Natalia says she wants it done, it's no problem. Garrick does it immediately. So Danielle can't believe it. And she feels like it's a huge lack of respect. She says it doesn't feel good at all. She is sobbing. She is utterly hurt, just completely heartbroken. Her heart is shattered. It is a huge lack of respect. Garrick really doesn't value Danielle. He doesn't value his family. And Danielle deserves more. And that's why it hurts. You know, Danielle keeps holding on to Garrick for love, for her kids. But the best thing Danielle can do for her kids and for herself and for her self-worth is get out of the situation where this man only gives a fuck about himself and his dick. It's disgusting. And the lack of respect with which he treats his wife, the way he treats Danielle, the way he uses God and faith to manipulate Danielle, to stifle her voice, it's disgusting. Garrick is revolting. Danielle is already legally divorced and she needs to walk away. She deserves better. She can have better. She can at least show her kids you never stay in any type of relationship where the other person doesn't value and respect you. That is not a good example to show her kids. When kids see one parent disrespecting another parent, it can really affect how the kid perceives relationships, how the kid perceives the parents and the dynamic between them, and it can create a lot of resentment too for the kids. Danielle can do better. She deserves better. Her kids deserve better. Now, Danielle asks Garrick why he is deleting the apps now and not when she, his wife, suggested it. Now, Garrick says he did it now just because he should have done it back then, and he's just getting to it now. Garrick did it now because he doesn't want anything else standing in the way, cock blocking his in with Natalia. He wants to propose. He has a custom ring and he wants to get it in. That's why he's rushing this. It's all about his dick. And if deleting the app helps him get where he wants, he will delete the app. That's why he's deleting it now. So Garrick's excuse is he's deleting it now because he should have deleted it then. Danielle says she and Garrick have been together for so long, and she literally said the same thing to Garrick as Natalia did, and he refused when she asked him. Now, Danielle says her heart is breaking in this moment. She is so hurt. Garrick says he wasn't even getting on the dating sites doing anything. He's still making excuses for his behavior rather than validating his wife's emotions and having empathy and taking accountability with that. Now, Danielle says, yes, Garrick was on searches. He was on all the dating apps all of the time. And she tells Natalia that's a lie. And Garrick says, no, he doesn't lie. What his wife is saying is an absolute, complete lie. So he'll throw his wife under the bus and call her a liar just as long as he can still stick it in. That's how much his wife matters to him. That's the value the mother of his kids has to him. Who's lying about the dating apps, Danielle or Garrick? You know, Garrick had to qualify the word lie to try and convince people. He said, that's an absolute complete lie. Danielle's claims are an absolute complete lie. Garrick, it sounds like he's trying to convince himself and everyone else of his lies by qualifying that word. Garrick is lying and he knows he is lying completely. And Danielle, he's willing to throw her under the bus. That's his wife. He has zero respect for her. In fact, in general, I think he has zero respect for women. This guy is lying and he knows it, and he's trying to say that his wife is the one lying, projecting his bad behavior onto her, taking no accountability, making excuses. Who else does that sound like, people? Danielle asks Garrick, so you don't look at who has liked you on the dating apps? And Garrick says no. He gets messages and the messages tell him if somebody has liked him, but he doesn't go on there. And Danielle asks him, you didn't look at new people? And Garrick says no. And Danielle says, that's a lie. And she is devastated. And Danielle says, this makes her question where she and Garrick are at. Listen to your gut, girl. Listen to your instincts. Listen to your intuition. It's telling you on repeat all you need to know about this relationship and this guy. Just listen. You deserve better. You're already legally divorced. Walk away and create a better life and show a better example to your sons. That does it for this episode. I'll be back next week with the next episode of Seeking Sister Wife, Season 4, Episode 5, Seeking Can Be Complicated. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon. Bye.